you alone for salvation. Change my heart, change my life as I turn from my sin and as I embrace you. I pray this in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or meant it for the first time today, on the count of three, just lift up your hand. One, two, three. Just lift up your hand, wherever it is. Thank you. All right? Anybody else? Where are you? Anybody? Okay. If you're here today and you would say, you know what, Terry? I really can't concentrate. The music was great. Couldn't concentrate. Fellowship is great. Can't really connect. You know, getting ready to go to the Word, pretty distracted because of everything going on outside of here. If that's you right now, if you're saying, man, there's just so much going on outside of here that I can't really concentrate, would you just lift up your hand so we can pray for you? Man, I got a lot going on and I can't focus. Anybody, a lot of people, anybody else? I'm going to pray for you in just a minute. I'm going to pray for you in just a minute. Second, how many of you would say that you know some people right now that desperately need to be here in this service or here at this church to hear the message of grace? Any of you know some people that need to be here to hear the message of grace all over this room? I'm going to ask you to commit to be a witness to them this week. I'm going to ask you to commit to bring them with you next weekend. You might be the conduit God uses to bring them to faith in Christ. Boy, wouldn't that be beautiful here at Christmas time? Wouldn't that be awesome at Christmas time? That'd be so cool. You might be the very person God would use. Well, Father, some have prayed and said that life is so distracting and busy and cluttered that they can't even concentrate being here. And I get it. Lord, you know me, and you know that has been me many times. And just as you, through the power of the Spirit, would speak to my heart and calm my mind and focus my spirit, you will do it for them because you don't have favorites, Lord. You love everybody the same. So I just pray you would speak to their hearts and their minds now and focus them. Help them put what's outside, outside, so you can do an inside job in their life. Father, for those who raise their hands saying there are folks who need to be here, who need to connect in community and connect to truth, Father, I pray that you'll use them to be that conduit into the lives of people. And Lord, we'll thank you for that. And now, Father, as we move from this time of prayer to time in your word, we pray that you'll be pleased. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Where are Grace Kids today? Grace Kids, where are you? Woohoo! Tell me love them. All right, again, let me remind you, everybody not clapping gets to go help Carrie. Yeah! Oh, that's, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Now you engage, right? Okay, I see how that works. Yeah, that's awesome. Bye, kids. Bye. Have fun. Be good for the teachers. That's great. A couple things before we get started this morning. One, thank y'all for coming. And want to really say thank you to Ryan for preaching last week. Ryan did a great job. Ryan will be leaving us today because of the jokes he told on me last week. So, Ryan, we're not sure where God's leading you, but I'm sure it's going to be somewhere great. So, goodbye. Yeah, there you go. Christmas season is on us, and we have a lot of guests today. Thank you all so much for choosing Grace today. A lot of great churches filled with a lot of great people, a lot of great pastors out there. We're just one on that list, so thank you for choosing us. Thank you so much. It's an honor to have you here with us. We believe here at Grace at taking every opportunity we can to engage people with the gospel and the message of Jesus. Our culture has morphed Christmas wrongly. It has changed where we set aside time to celebrate the birth of Jesus to selling you something you don't really need and will probably be broken in a week. Can I get an amen? Right, okay, that's exactly where culture's gone. But culture does allow us an open door to talk about Jesus because they do use the word Christmas. And so we just believe in taking every opportunity around to celebrate Christmas. So we'll be starting Advent next Sunday. If you've never been a part of a church that celebrates Advent, it's a beautiful time. And here it is in a nutshell. Of all the things Jesus brought to earth when he came and was born in the manger and died on the cross and resurrected, four things the world desperately longs for: love, joy, peace, and hope. They long for it. They starve for it. They strive for it. The four Sundays of Advent, well, actually, then the fifth Advent, which is the Christ candle, focuses on those four realities and themes. So if you know someone who needs one of those things in their life, some joy, some hope, some peace, some love, the next 4 weeks, that's what we're praying through. That's what we're talking through. That's what we're singing about. That is what we're focusing on. And it's going to be a wonderful time doing that together, so we hope you'll come and do that. And it's going to fit well into our annual series that we've been talking about, is living a life of impact. There's nobody in this room who wants to die insignificant. No one wants to die in the world cheer, right? I mean, we're together on that. I mean, you don't want to be the person who walks out of the room and the room lights up when you leave, right? You don't want to be that person. We all want to be the people that, as we live our life, in the wake of our life, we leave positive results around as it impacts people. And so this year, starting our church year, starting in September, we've been talking about living a life of impact. Every sermon we preach ties back to how do we make a difference in the lives of our family, lives of our friends, lives of the people we work with, and the people in our community. So today, we're talking about something that makes a huge impact in the lives of people and is a great example, and that is decision-making. Decision-making. Somebody think, decision-making? It's amazing how people watch, admire, and follow people who can make good decisions. Have you ever seen anybody that just seems to be gifted in making the right choices? You ever seen folks like that? Man, I've been around people that just, I mean, it seems like they could be facing the worst possible scenario imaginable, but they're going to have the wisdom and the decision-making ability to go through that and come out on the other side an unbelievable winner, no doubt about it. And so decision-making is real. It's so important, I'll tell you this, that in the United States Army, I went through officer candidate school. The first thing you learned in those 90 days of torture, the first thing you learned was this: make a decision. I remember the first lecture we got during OCS, and it was this: an 80% solution now is better than 100% solution later, because later may not come. And so it is vital, as you live life, as we represent the Lord, as we walk being led by the Spirit, that we're able to make good decisions. And sometimes that's hard to do, because decisions have sort of built within it some barriers. I mean, sometimes making a decision is hard because of we're afraid to fail. There's a lot of people who will be paralyzed in the midst of making a decision because they don't want to fail. Failure to them is a strike against their soul and against their spirit. They personalize and internalize failure so deeply that they're just frozen when it comes to making a decision. Let me just tell you something. Failure is normal. You guys are looking at me saying, well, Terry, it's normal for you, but it is not normal for me. Right? I get it. It's probably normal for me, and I admit, every day, I get you. But failure is normal. But I promise you, the world is looking for people. And I believe the world is looking for Christians who will make decisions and who are not afraid to fail. They step out on faith, they step out on confidence, they pull the trigger, they make a decision, and they're man and woman enough to live with the results and own it. They're willing to own it. Make a call and own the results. Don't be afraid to make a decision. But it's important. But failure is part of it. The other thing is change. Making a decision absolutely means change. And we all know what people hate, right? People hate two things, and I've told you before: change and the same old thing. Am I right? People hate change and the same old thing. And so here's what happens. We don't make a decision. We don't pull the trigger. We don't lead. We don't follow the Lord with boldness. We just become paralyzed. Then finally, we don't make decisions because we're afraid of offending people. Because there's no doubt, every decision demands a realignment. Every time you make the decision, things realign in your life. They realign with your friends, they realign with your family, they realign with your job, they realign with your finances. When you make a decision, there's going to be realignment that's mandatory. Now, there was a point in the Bible that the people of God faced. Moses died, Joshua took over, and Joshua had unbelievable success at driving the people out of the promised land, unbelievable success at establishing the parameters of God's kingdom because the Lord was with him. But in Joshua 24, some decisions had to be made because change was coming. If you have your Bibles open to Joshua 24, and remember that the people of God back then faced all these things about decisions and change. They sort of a little bit afraid of failure, afraid of offending, afraid of just change in general. But they had to make some decisions. So in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14, the Bible says this. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Now, some of your translations say, consider this day who you will serve. Okay? So, either way. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in fullness. Put away the gods your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt. And serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, the first thing you're going to see there in verse 14 is decisions have timing. Every decision you face is brought to you by God's time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says this, is that there's a time and season for every purpose under heaven. God has brought you to this time and in this season, and facing these decisions according to his will to work in and through your life. You're not where you are right now because God dropped the ball or you accidentally ended up here. Ecclesiastes 3 says very clearly that there is appointed by God a time and purpose for every season under heaven. So you're here facing whatever it is you're facing because God's calling you to make some decisions. And decisions are, and here in Joshua, he says, now is the time. This right here is the time to make a decision. Some of you are going to face decisions as 2018 comes and goes. And you're going to wonder about timing. How many of you know the right thing done at the wrong time becomes the wrong thing? Anybody with me on that? How many of you know if you get out of God's timing, it's going to be a bad deal? Anybody know that? I mean, it absolutely can be. And so here's what's going to happen. Coming up in your life, because God's brought you to this place, you're going to have to make some decisions. And you're going to have to make some decisions in the right time. Making the right decision too early doesn't work. Making the right decision too late puts you out of time. But here's the deal. Making the right decision in God's time is going to produce great results in your life. Now, how is it as a believer we're to walk through understanding the time in which God's placed us? Well, first of all, you have present within you the person of the Holy Spirit. And do not ever underestimate the power of the Spirit to speak to your life concerning God's timing about decision making. Now, some of you are sitting there going, well, yeah, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the whole Trinity thing, and yeah, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, we talk about in the Creed, and yeah, I get it. But really, Terry, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to my life about timing? 110%. If you're facing a decision right now and you don't know whether to pull the trigger now or later, here's what you do this afternoon. Turn the TV off. Get your phone out of your ears. Go someplace alone, you and the Lord. Your car, your house, the beach, the woods, the lake, doesn't matter. Just get away with you and the Lord. And be honest with God in your prayers. Say, Lord, I'm facing a decision. And in Joshua, I know you told him when the time was to make a decision. And it was right then when he was speaking. It was time. If it's time for me to pull the trigger on this issue, this situation, that circumstance, Holy Spirit, speak to my heart. Speak to my life. Let me know somehow to make that decision. Now, here's what God's going to do. He's going to do one of a couple things. He's either going to speak to you in a still small voice through the person of the Holy Spirit where you're going to have a knowing. You're just going to have a knowing. I don't want y'all to think this is freaky. It's not freaky. you're just going to have a knowing in your gut. Deep down in your gut, you're going to know. Any of you ever get that gut feeling down in your gut and you just know? That's not you. That's the Holy Spirit putting a knowing in your gut saying, this is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to go. This is the decision you need to make. So the Holy Spirit's either going to give you that knowing down in your gut, or he's going to bring someone you trust who's a godly person into your life to speak to you concerning making that decision. Because I will tell you, you cannot walk this life alone. You're not meant to. You weren't saved to. You weren't saved to walk alone. I need other people speaking into my life. You know why? Because I'll mess it up alone. Anybody with me? Anybody with me? There's a saying in AA that goes like this: your best thinking ended you up right here. Right? If you're in a mess today and you got there by yourself, your best thinking got you right there by yourself. You need other people in your life who will speak into your life that you trust, that's not grinding an axe, that's not out for something, but that love and care for you, that will speak into your life, that you will listen to and not fight with. Hello, did y'all hear me? That you will listen to and not fight with. If you're facing a decision and you need the Holy Spirit to speak to you, he may bring somebody with you, but I want to tell you, if he sends me to speak to you and you start to argue, I'm gone. I'm gone. I don't argue anymore. Can I tell you what I learned at 54? I wish I had learned it at 34. Want me to tell you what I've learned? Nothing good comes out of a spiritual argument. Nothing. You want to argue? Call somebody else. Do not call me. Pastor Terry, I want to argue with you about something you said today. No! Not going to argue. I was probably wrong. I admit it. Okay, let's just move on. All right? I'll admit it. Not going to argue. But if you're facing a decision and you're concerned about the timing, God may bring someone to you. Joshua says right here at the beginning of verse 14, he says, this is the time. Now is the time to make the decision. Now, second thing that the Holy Spirit will do in determining the time is he will help you look at the criteria to consider. Your decision has observable criteria that you need to recognize. If it's a job promotion, you have to think about things. What are they paying? What are they expecting of me to do? How much time does it take away from my family? Do I have to move? How is it going to impact my spiritual life? These are all the basic criteria you have to consider before moving up or taking a job. If it's a relationship, man, you know, I've got to cut ties because we've talked about it here time and time again. And matter of fact, me and Pat Tripp were just talking about it before church. If you really get serious about your walk with the Lord, there are people around you you have to fire. There are people around you you have to fire because there are people that will not want you growing in your spiritual life. They won't. And they don't get to hold you back because God's more important than them. Hello? Amen? All right? And so there are some people that have to take a back seat because your walk with the Lord is most important. So here's what's going to happen. You just got to have people around you that's going to help you, that's going to help you move ahead. And that's part of the criteria. So the Holy Spirit will help you determine the timing. Second, you need to see about decisions. Decisions have timing. Decisions need to be clear. Look at what he says. In verse 14, he says, now put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. That is clear. When you're facing a decision, you need to be able to articulate it clearly. If you can't articulate it clearly, the timing isn't right to pull the trigger. Until you can articulate clearly the decision and what's expected and what it's going to mean, the timing isn't right. You have to have it fixed in your mind, clearly what's being asked. Joshua was saying to the people of God, look, here's the situation. I'm about to die. I'm leaving. And some of you have had tendencies to want to go back to other gods. So you've got to make some decisions about your life now. There isn't a year from now. There isn't 5 years from now. We got to pull the trigger now. And this is the decision. It's really clear. Put away all this nonsense and serve the Lord. That is as clear as it gets. Now, I don't know what you're facing right now in your life. I don't know what's coming up at Christmas or what's going to be coming up in 2018. But rest assured, you're going to be called to make a decision, and you're going to struggle with timing on when to pull the trigger. One of the key criteria is right here in this text. You have to be able to define clearly what the decision is. I mean, that's like starting a business. If you can't in 2 minutes tell me about your business, you're not ready to start a business. How many of you know the elevator speech? You know what that is? You know, if I can't tell you on an elevator ride what I do, why you should hire me, and what I'm about, I'm not ready to do business. It's got to be that clear, because you have about 2 minutes. And if you're sitting here thinking about a decision, about something you've got to pull the trigger on, something you're about to make, if you can't articulate it as clearly as Joshua did, put away the gods, serve the Lord. Pretty clear. If you can't be that clear, you're not ready to pull the trigger. You're not ready to make the decision. You've got to be that clear. People around you, folks, want to see people who understand these principles. They will listen to you. You will gain favor with them. You will gain the reputation of someone who's wise. You will gain the reputation of someone who should be listened to. And let me tell you what that means. You're already with me, aren't you? That then opens the door to you being able to bring the gospel to bear in situations and circumstances. That's what it means. Decision making and how you do it is vital, because we live in a world of people who don't want to make decisions and don't want to take responsibility. I said it a few weeks ago, and nobody threw anything at me, so I'm going to say it again. When I was still doing political stuff, it was really interesting, the people that I had the privilege of being around. But when it came to leadership, they didn't really want to make the decision because they didn't want to take the heat. Right? They don't want to make the call because they didn't want to take the heat. Can I tell you a little something? That is not who is followed when the chips are down. When the chips are down, it's the people who pull the trigger, who make the call, and who are willing to take the heat. If you will be that person in your workplace, if you'll be that person in your community, if you'll be that person in your family, you will gain favor with people, and people will begin to listen to you about spiritual things. Joshua says, look, this process is biblical. There is timing to decision making. There's got to be clarity to decision making. And then look at the third thing. Every decision is going to have options. You're going to have some options when you face decisions. If you go on and look at verse 15, the scripture says, and if it is evil for you in your eyes to serve the Lord, okay, choose this day, here's a decision, whom you will serve. Whether the gods your father served in Egypt, in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So, every decision you face, you're going to have options. And basically, the options are going to be this. Go backwards, try to stay the same, or move ahead. Those are basically the three options you're going to have. And so Joshua lays it out like that. He says, okay, guys, I'm about to die. I'm about to go. You got three choices. You can go back to Egypt, where you were in bondage, enslaved. You had no hope. You had no dreams. You had no future. You had nothing going on. You can serve those gods, which shackled you down to nothing. That's a choice. Pretty bad choice, but it's a choice. Or you can choose the gods of the Amorites. Now, what had just happened to those guys? Well, they'd gotten beaten, right? Joshua had come over. They had wiped out everybody. These gods are pretty powerless. But guess what? They're powerless, but they're common. So what you can do is start worshiping these gods, and you'll fit in this culture. And in this context, you'll fit in, and you'll probably make some friends. But you're not going to go anywhere. Or you could choose to move ahead. And that is putting away all these gods and choosing today to serve the Lord. Now, here's what you face today. It's real simple. The world is looking for people to move ahead. If you're willing to move ahead, you will make an impact that will be profound, that will be stellar, that, listen, will be renowned among your sphere of influence. You really will, but you got to make a choice to move ahead. But you're sitting here today with some choices. You can go back. There's a decision you have to make. You can go backwards. You can say, Terry, yeah, but if I make this decision about relationship, work, finances, whatever, you know, I just, you know, here's a decision, but I just want to go back like it used to be. I want to go back to like it. How many of y'all ever said that? I want to go back to like it used to be. Y'all ever said that? All of you are lying. Raise your hands. Everybody's lying. Don't lie in church. Don't you come to church and lie. Y'all have said that. I want it like it used to be. I want to go back. I want to go back to 27-cent gas. I want to go back where a new Mustang was $3,000, right, Carson? Does that be a good day? Carson wants a Mustang, right? I want to go back to when I had more hair than fat cells. All right? I mean, absolutely. I want to go back to when my kids were little and we could shut them up in a room and ignore their crying. Hey, hallelujah. I want to go back. I want to go back. Here's the illusion that the devil casts. There is no going back. Going back is an illusion. It's a dream. It's a fantasy. No one can go back. There is no reverse in life. Now, if you're here today and you're carrying a bunch of shame and guilt and regret, let me give you some good news. Joel tells us that the Lord can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. God can come in and restore those years, give you that time back, restore those missed opportunities. He can do that, but that's not going back. That's bringing the back to the present and moving forward. So Joshua says, you can go back if you want to, but all that's there is death and enslavement and hopelessness. That's what's going back. He says, okay, you can stay here. You can stay here in the land where the Amorites, this is where we are. You can stay right here in the present. And you know what? If you do everything the culture tells you to do, you're going to have some friends. You'll fit in. You won't offend anybody. You can gather all these folks around you, and you'll go through life, and you'll get a, you know, you'll get a knock on your door every now and then from your neighbor, and you know what? You'll live a peaceful life. You can stay right here in the now. You can do that. But remember, it was our God who defeated the God of the Amorites. It is our God who drove them out of the land. It is our God who established your new land and home where you're going to live. So just remember that if you choose to stay in the now. But then he said, wait a minute, there's something else. You can forget all of this, and you can embrace the living God and serve him, and you can move ahead. Every decision that you will make, you have three options. Try to go back, try to ignore it and stay the same, or embrace the fear, embrace the change, embrace the shifting and realignment that occurs through changes and decisions, and move ahead. Well, Terry, I just can't make that decision. Man, it's going to make this person mad. It's going to make that person mad. Then stay where you are. But I don't like to stay where I am. Well, then stop whining and pull the trigger and make the change. Joshua said the timing was now for them. Might not be now for you. You might have some time. But the day's coming when you're going to have to make the decision on whatever it is you're facing. Going back is bondage. Trying to stay the same as mediocrity. The only real victory is making the decision, embracing Christ, and moving ahead. That's the only way you win. It's the only way. Now, finally, once you make a decision, you have to declare it. You have to make it known. The last part of verse 15, the Bible says this. It says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, okay, here's the decision about your spiritual journey. Go back, stay here, move ahead, but I'm going to declare to you my decision so we don't have to have this discussion ever again. I'm declaring to you my decision. I am serving the Lord. So we don't have to talk about it anymore. It's done. just in a practical sense, once you make decisions about things that are major in your life, declare it. Make it known. I mean, if you're, you know, whatever, if it's a health issue, hey, I'm going to be healthy in 2018, so do not ask me to go to Dairy Queen again. If, don't do it. I will run you over if you ask me. Declare it. You know, if you're going to get off of sugar, tell the people you live with in your house, if you bring sugar in here again, you're sleeping in the yard. Declare it. Declare it. If you're going to be serious about your faith, if maybe God is calling you to be a little bit more serious about your faith, declare it. Declare it. Don't ask me to stay out until 3 o'clock on Sunday morning because I'm going to church on Sunday. Declare it. But I, you know what? Facebook is we can talk about the merits or the evils of it, but it is funny at times. People post some very funny stuff. And somebody posted something that was so true the other day that said, so let me get this right. You can go to Black Friday shopping at 4 o'clock, but you can't get to church at 10:30. Right? And then the last thing is, so I guess a $20 crock pot's more important than God. And the offering just went down. True. That's the offering. For those of you who are guests, I forget everything, so it's just not new here. Once you make the decision, declare it. Declare it, because when you declare it, a couple of things happen, and I'll land with this. Thank you for indulging me this morning. I know I preached so long. When you declare it, a couple of things happen. One, the people around you can help you. Now, the word accountability has been used as a stick to beat you up. Okay, don't let people beat you up when you declare something. That is not the right spirit. Accountability is to build you up, not beat you up. It's to help you cross the finish line, not get maimed in the process. That's not what accountability is. Accountability is to help you accomplish your goals, your dreams, your visions, your hopes, and what you've decided. So when you declare it, you bring some people around you to help you cross the finish line successfully. The second thing, there is a spiritual dynamic to it. When you stand up and declare something, your word now is tied to that declaration. And the Holy Spirit, if you ask him, will now cooperate with you to help you accomplish that mission as you move ahead. God, I declare in 2018, whatever, and you declare that, man, and you make that statement. And Joshua did. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. Joshua right here said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That was a public declaration that mattered. So when you make a decision, declare it. Declare it. You're going to get fit? Declare it. You're going to get serious with Jesus? Declare it. You're going to be a better husband, wife, child? Declare it. Own it. Be responsible for it. And watch what God does with your life. Then finally, Proverbs 12 says that there is wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Again, it is so important that you don't walk alone. Don't walk alone in this life. It's not that you're not smarter than me. All of y'all are smarter than me. It's not the issue. You're going to face decisions that you need wisdom that you may not have. And one of the way God wants to bless you is through this community of saints. This community of believers is assembled to help you walk through life. Now, you can ignore it. That's cool. Your choice. Or you can access it and allow us to speak into your life and to help you where there's experience. I am so thankful there are people in this congregation that have had some more birthdays than me. Now, y'all got to admit, that was pretty politically correct right there. I am so thankful there are people who've had more birthdays than me. Because here's what I know. I'm going to face decisions in the coming years that I need some people in my life with more birthdays who will say, Terry, if you make that decision, that'll be the maybe the second dumbest thing you've ever done, because I've done some really dumb ones. All right, so that's about the second dumbest thing you've ever done. I need somebody to say that. Proverbs also says it's a fool who rebukes sound wisdom. When you're making decisions, you need people around you. If you don't have a place that you call home as far as church, we invite you to call this place home, because we want to help you walk. We want to help you make decisions that are wise. If you'll let us, you have to let us. We're not pushy here. But if you'll let us, man, we'll speak to you out of our experience and how God's spoken to us. And we'll help you every way that we possibly can. Decisions. You're going to have to make them. And if you make them well, you'll gain favor with people and influence in their life. And you'll be able to share the gospel in new, fresh, and exciting ways. I hope you'll think about your decision making. Pray with me, if you will. How many of you would say today that you're here and you got some pretty big decisions to make coming up? Just raise your hand. I got decisions coming up. Okay? God will give you wisdom. Don't walk it alone. Don't be by yourself. Lean on people you trust. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. He'll help you, I promise. And as you make those decisions, God will open unbelievable doors of opportunity for you. He really will. If you do it right, you'll gain favor with people, man, and you'll gain influence. I just pray that you will. Well, Father, thank you for today and your goodness. Thank you for this time that we've had together. And Lord, I just pray that as decisions come the rest of 2017, and as decisions roll in 2018, that Father will be able to make sound, good decisions that glorify you, that give testimony of your involvement in our life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank y'all so much. Ryan, quickly, come on up. Very quickly, ushers, come on up as well. Ushers, come on up. Oh, thanks, yeah. Ushers are coming up. Someone lost a necklace. It is back here at the sound booth. Wayne has it. If you've lost, is it gold, Wayne? I can't tell. It's a gold necklace. If you've lost a gold necklace, go back and see Wayne, because he has it back there, okay? Well, let's pray, and then ushers will pick up the offering. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your goodness. And now, Lord, we give for two reasons. Because Jesus, you are Lord, and because advancing the gospel is the most important thing in life. Father, help us to give freely. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Ryan.
We're on. Okay, good. There will be no Wednesday night activities this week because of the Thanksgiving holiday. We're going to take that time off. We figure most of you will be traveling anyways or baking like crazy, and so you don't want to come to church, which is fine, because we're going to be baking like crazy at my house. So we're going to take this Wednesday off. We hope that you guys enjoy your holiday. Hope that you enjoy your Thanksgiving. But with that being said, on Thursday, there will be Thanksgiving. Where's Robin at? Right here, right? There will be Thanksgiving here. Good. So she's going to make that announcement. Terry told me. Yeah, so I'm not going to say anything about it. So no Wednesday night services. I didn't want to do it anyways. And then December the 9th, students, December the 9th is a big deal for us. That will be our, traditionally we do a progressive dinner, Christmas progressive dinner. We're going to change it up a little bit this year. We're working on something kind of cool. If it will all pan itself out, it's going to be really exciting and fun. The students are like ready to kill me because they're like, I want to know. And I'm like, I'll tell you this, casual country Christmas. And they're like, okay. So just casual country Christmas. We're going to do that. I'll just bring $5 with you. And that'll take care of everything. We're going to have a great time that night. That is December the 9th. It's a Saturday night, 4:30 to 9:30. December the 9th, 4:30 to 9:30. Also coming up in January is Winter Jam. So we're going to head to Winter Jam on January the 12th. However, we're going to do it a little bit differently this year, parents. Typically, we leave at like 3:05 and head up there and wait in a long line to get in at 6:30. And maybe we get in, maybe we don't. But this year, we are going to buy advance tickets, which gets us in because school gets out so late. We will miss the door to be able to get in if we don't do this. So the cost on that's going to be $35. That gets them a ticket to get in the door. We are guaranteed to get in the door. We're guaranteed a seat. So some of the people that are there will be Carrie Job. Skillet will be there. Yeah, Building 429, KB. So a bunch of great artists. So please come and make sure that you're ready for that. Cool?
Yep. Awesome. Robin, come on up.
Robin, come on.
As Robin's coming, just a couple of things again. Next week we start Advent, and we'll be talking about hope. If you know someone who needs some hope in their life, the only place to find it is with Jesus. And we're going to be talking about that next week. I hope you'll bring somebody with you. Robin, go ahead.
So last week we mentioned that if you don't have family, or maybe it's just a couple of you like with us, and you don't want to cook all the Thanksgiving stuff and be home by yourself, we want to invite you to come at 1 o'clock on Thursday. I even mentioned it on the radio, and then Stacy called me immediately and said, "Are you crazy? We're going to need cops directing traffic or something." But we don't care. So we want as many people to come as want to, because we want to celebrate Thanksgiving together. So if you feel like, "I don't have any family," you do now. And he's the food guy.
Well, you might wonder where I come in on that, because I like food. So I've got a couple of almost 20-pound turkeys and spiral ham, and you bring your sides. I've been divorced dad without kids, and I know how that feels. I've been alone in another place for work on holiday, so I know how that feels. That's all it is. We're going to say a grace, and we're going to eat, and we're going to fellowship. It's not going to be, we're not inviting Terry. He's not preaching.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
But we'll be hanging out in the back afterwards with the sign-up sheet in case you want to see, like, what's coming and what you can bring. Thanks.
Right. Okay, quick.
Hey, tonight, I forgot one thing. College-age students and singles, we have a Bible study at our house on the first and the third Sundays of every month at my house, 6:30. Come 6 o'clock. Dinner is provided tonight. We're having barbecue pulled chicken sliders, which is going to be really good. But you can only come if you're a college-age student or single adult. We'd love to have you come in and hang out with us. So we're doing a study called Being Anxious for Nothing by Max Lucado. So cool.
Okay, great. We're going to pray and dismiss, but if I could see you right after church, Trips, if I could see y'all right after church up here, and then the Flatos, if I could see y'all up here, that'll be awesome. I just need to ask you a favor, okay? Stay with me if you will, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Bring someone with you next week. Hey, hope. There's some people you know that need some hope. Bring them with you. Well, Father, we love you. Thank you for today, and Father, I thank you that as we face decisions in life, you speak to us, lead us, and guide us. And Father, I thank you as we make godly decisions, wise decisions, decisions that just seem to be right, that opens the door to people around us to share the gospel, because people are looking for a way to live better and to make better choices. So Father, use us in our decision making. Speak to us in our decision making. And now, Father, give us a great week, great Thanksgiving together. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. See you Sunday.